Get ready, race fans. The NHRA Speed Demons are back at C-Max Dragway. And April 11th through the 13th, it's four wide and double the power. The four wide nationals are going to rock your world. See John Force, Antron Brown, Ron Capps, and Courtney Force blister the C-Max Dragway at 330 miles per hour. Get your tickets today to the four wide nationals, the most powerful drag race on the planet. Kids 13 and under are free, and every ticket is a pit pass. Don't wait. Call 1-800-455-FANS now.
WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the cheer of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capp, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhardt stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another winner's edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. Following up the SummitRacing.com Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby. Vegas!
Nationals. And we've got a great show for you. The Sarge going to be on the show. Tony Schumacher, the U.S. Army. What a final round against Doug Coletta. We've got the Sarge. We're going to talk with him about his huge victory. It had been a while since we spoke with the Sarge. Tony will come on the show. We'll talk a little bit about that drought. A while, what, 15 races? Yeah, that's not that bad. But the Sarge will be back on the show just minutes from now, so stick around. Also on the show, she was the big winner in the casino this weekend. Erica Enders-Stevens wins the very exclusive Can-Am Horsepower Challenge, becomes the first female to do that, beats Dave Connolly in the process, then comes back on Sunday, wins again. Erica going to be on this show. We're going to ask Erica all kinds of questions. Do not miss it. Also on the show, the Terminator, Peter Biondo. That's right, more Lucas Oil stuff. Stock, super stock, doesn't matter, because he won them both. Second double up of his career, plus getting ready for the Can-Am Spring Fling Bracket Race this coming week out there in Vegas. So it all works out absolutely perfectly as we plan it here on WFO Radio each week. And also, Bob Smith works at William Hill, the home of betting. He is a professional Las Vegas handicapper. He does our NASCAR odds on the Ignition show. We make picks every week, but he had never been to an NHRA Mellow Yellow Series event. So we sent him out there, and he's going to give us his impressions of the sport as a guy, as a newcomer, a brand newborn baby walking into the gates of the NHRA. What did he think? He'll be on this show. So get in, sit down, hold on, stick around, get ready. We are about to go WFO, and we start them all off the same way with this man, the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be back, as always.
You sound a little different without the in the background. The wind was whipping out there.
It was a little breezy, no question about it. But you know what? All in all, not a bad weekend at the Strip at Las Vegas, and you know, in the grand scheme of things, if all we have to whine about is it's a little breezy at our drag race, well, then we're probably doing all right.
Absolutely. As long as it's not wet. We can handle wind. We can't handle wet.
Yeah, the wind was actually bad enough that it revamped the schedule quite a bit. You know, with Vegas, the drag strip runs basically south to north, and the wind was a pretty strong crosswind. A big issue was the fact that it was blowing dust on the track. You know, with the top fuel funny cars, big wings, big tailgates, wasn't a huge issue. But Pro Stock ended up getting rescheduled until later in the day when the winds died down. It was amazing to watch from the tower. The tractors would go down one lane, and they'd turn around and come back, and by the time they got back to half track, the lane that they had been down was brown again just because of all the blowing dust. So the decision was made that, you know what, it's just not safe to run Pro Stock. We pushed them back into the pits and brought the alcohol cars out again. They have wings and you know, good solid downforce. So we ran them, ran the pros, and, you know, let Pro Stock and the Sportsman guys wait until later on in the afternoon once the wind did die down. Then we were able to run the event to conclusion. It just ended up being a little bit more of a hodgepodge affair than what we're used to out there on the NHRA Meliello Series.
It's harder to get those Pro Stockers down through the wind. The fuel cars, they've got a lot of wing, they've got a lot of downforce. I was surprised, though, that they can just go into the teeth of a 40-mile-an-hour gust, which is what I understand it was.
Yeah, but it's, you know, you're going 300 miles an hour, so 40 miles an hour isn't really a huge deal. You know, a lot of the drivers said that once they got out from behind the grandstands, you could feel it a little bit, but, you know, you're not there very long, and again, you've got enough downforce and enough stability that you can get away with it. You know, the big issue with the Pro Stock cars is that they just don't have any downforce. And between the crosswind, which you probably could deal with, but the dust on the track you absolutely could not deal with. And so the decision was made, and I think rightly so. It's rare that you make a decision and not one single guy comes up in the tower and goes, well, that was dumb. But I think the Pro Stock guys all acknowledged that the right choice was made, you know, push them back until later on in the day when it was safe for them to run, and then they'd have a good, clean, fair race, which they did.
Absolutely, and we'll get into the whole domination of Erica Enders Stevens and winning the K&N Horsepower Challenge, $100,000. Imagine walking into you leave the track, Alan, with $100,000, 100 large, 100 big ones, and where are you going? Vegas. There's like casinos out there. You'd have to lock it down. Someone would have to lock me down.
You know, the interesting thing about that was that Richie, Erica's husband, wasn't there. Her sister, Courtney, was there, but Courtney's longtime boyfriend wasn't there. And I'm thinking, these two girls in Vegas with a whole pile of cash could really get ugly. I didn't hear any bad stories, but that, you know, possibly because they haven't been bailed out yet. I don't know.
Well, we'll speak with Erica just minutes from now and find out. You know, Alan, I know how to turn $100,000 into $200,000 real quick. Take about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know how to turn it into $10,000 real quick. But what's your plan? Your plan sounds way better than mine.
Well, I was gonna just go put it all on black. Go right up there to the Bellagio and just take that big giant cardboard check and put it on black and let it ride, baby. Let it ride. You never know.
Let me know when you do that. I'd like to sit in the back and watch.
Well, exactly. And then you'd.
By the way, really, you play roulette? I thought you were a drag racer.
I do. It's mindless. You just sit there and put the money on numbers and sit there and drink. And
you're
drink.
Not a real drag racer, Joe.
Why is that?
Have you ever looked at a roulette wheel?
Have I ever looked at it?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
How much red versus how much green? There is no way a drag racer would ever play roulette. There's only two greens on the whole wheel, and half of the rest of it's red.
I bet the greens. I don't ever want to get beaten by the greens. Maybe that's the DNA in there, but I'm always betting the split on 0-0 because of that point.
All right, if you say so.
Listen, you know, if it spins, you can't win. That's what they say, but I still play roulette from time to time. And how was all the associated hype, the autograph signings and the zip lines and the downtown and the New York? How did all that go, Alan? Because Vegas is just larger than life.
You know, the autograph session was huge. We did it on the brand new Brooklyn Bridge. They just have revamped that out down at New York. Part of their restaurant area is still under construction, but the new Brooklyn Bridge was up and ready, and we had tremendous turnout of drivers, a lot of fans, and it was fun. You know, a lot of giveaways, a lot of stuff going on, and just a great evening, a great way to kick things off. And then, you know, from there we go racing. But, you know, with the Vegas races and the spring race, we almost always do something down at New York, and then at the fall race, of course, we'll be down at Fremont Street downtown. So that's the way they split up the two of them.
Well, that is awesome, and I love Vegas and the whole idea and concept. All right, let's get into it. Starting off in Top Fuel, where news coming out of Vegas about a driver swap or switch regarding the Colettas and David Grubnick. A million rumors out there as to why. I saw a brief press release from the Coletta Motorsports team. There had been a driver swap. J.R. Todd was put in the car. Grubby had that double-step incident. But there are wild speculations and rumors. There's faux conversations out there that are out there. But you were out there. What do you know that you can say is closest to official?
Well, the closest thing to official probably is that, you know, Connie obviously was upset Friday night, decided that he was going to make a change in the middle of the weekend. You know, J.R. Todd actually had to fly in from Indianapolis. He got the call at home, and they said, can you be here in time for Q3? And obviously he said yes. As far as long-term plans, I haven't heard anything, and I'm not sure that any long-term plans have been made. Connie, at that point, wanted to do something that weekend, brought J.R. Todd in to do it. J.R. Todd, I can tell you for absolute certainty, is not going to be the full-time replacement in that car. He and Bob Vandergriff have long-term plans. He was just filling in for the weekend. I don't know who's going to be in it next weekend. I don't know who's going to be in it for the rest of the year. I think it's possible David Grubnik could be back in it. I think it might be a deal where, you know, Connie was upset and they just needed to separate, catch their breath. I have no inside information. You know, one piece of speculation that I thought was interesting, you know, now that Ashley has her funny car license again, it wouldn't take much for her to cross grade, get a top fuel license, and maybe she'll drive it.
Wow, that is total speculation that I love. That's what these shows are about, Alan.
That's my April 1st. That's my attempt at April 1st.
Better than Bobby Bennett from Competition Plus, who texted me, folks. Bobby, first of all, everyone knows we love Bobby, love Competition Plus, very helpful to us posting all of our shows. You can hear it, you can see it, check it out on Competition Plus. But Bobby, you text me a phony story about 350 miles per hour. Of course, I put it on the Facebook page immediately because, you know, I love you and I trust you. And, of course, April Fools. Alan, do you remember several years ago when we were doing the show on XM? I totally bought into an NHRA April Fools story and reported it and went with it. Hook, line, and sinker. Like, I couldn't have been more totally fooled and duped and made an idiot of by the sanctioning body at the time. I remember just being so angry. I remember calling Jerry and just destroyed him, and he's laughing. Ha ha ha. And that's why now I really hate April Fools. I hate it.
Well, all you have to do is mark it on your calendar and just be aware that it's there and take everything with a little bit of a grain of salt. And especially, you know, somebody comes up and says, hey, this, and you go, you know, and then once your April Fools radar kicks in, you go, eh, good one.
Yes.
But,
exactly.
No, I think it'll be very interesting to see what happens over there with the other Coletta car. And like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if David and Connie sit down and talk and work something out. You know, and that's based on no inside information. I just know that David is a lot more involved with the guys at Coletta Motorsports than just showing up and driving the car. You know, he spends time in the shop. He's kind of their computer go-to guy. He has a lot of responsibilities over there that don't involve him wearing the helmet. So maybe they'll be able to get it worked out and move forward. I really don't know. We're all just kind of in wait-and-see mode right now.
Well, Grubby is a good guy, big personality. He's well-liked. But he has had a bit of a tough go of it, just, you know, hole shots, things happening. Last year, missing the countdown on a hole shot. And if anyone is frustrated or upset or bothered about it, it has to be the driver. And I don't imagine that there is a stronger critic than the driver of his own work. And so I can understand a moment of frustration after something happening when you are usually your own harshest critic.
Well, that's certainly true, but you know, we live in a performance-based business, and you know, you need to be able to perform. You look at David's record over the years, and obviously he's done a nice job not only in that car but in the different cars that he's been in. So again, you know, maybe this is a temporary setback. Maybe it's, you know, an opportunity for everybody to go to a new direction. You know, we've certainly seen times in the past where, you know, two entities, for lack of a better term, that everybody had a lot of respect for and a lot of weren't working well together, they go their separate ways and both of them find success. So I have no idea what's going to happen there, and you know, anything would just be speculation. I haven't talked to anybody inside Camp Coletta, but you know, they've got a couple of weeks to get it figured out, so that's probably a good thing. You know, plenty of time to get cooled off and make the correct decision for the team going forward.
And just to, not to put too fine a point on it, I like using that line, but getting to know these guys and know what they're all about, and they're not just names on a paper as if we were talking about football players or a general manager of a team that I don't know, and maybe this guy gets fired and a new guy comes in. It's very different with the sport of drag racing, at least for me, compared to other sports, because you get to know these people and they are real. But immediately I think, you know, who's out there? Who is out there? Larry Dixon is out there, Alan. There's a lot of guys out there looking for rides that are really good racers. And if you were to decide, hey, it's not working out with whatever person, there are some good guys that are available.
There certainly are. And not just, you know, guys like Larry Dixon that are sitting on the sidelines or even a J.R. Todd. You know, perhaps this is an opportunity for somebody to come up out of the alcohol ranks. You know, one thing, if the decision is made that we are going to make a change. There is going to be a new driver and that David is not coming back. Then would you consider maybe bringing somebody up? Gives you an opportunity to run for Rookie of the Year, and there's still a lot of year left in order to get out there and impress the judges. You know, also, you're going to get a lot of ink with a new face coming in. And, you know, I've known Larry Dixon for 100 years. I love the guy to death. But if you put Larry Dixon in the car, then the news story is going to be Larry Dixon to drive Connie's Bounty Hunter car, and everybody gets on with their life. If you put Joe Costello in the car,
better idea.
Then every time you go to a new market, somebody's going to go, hey, who's this new Joe Costello guy? And it gives you more ink and generates more exposure, not just for the one car, but for the entire team. And I think the greatest episode of that ever was when Alan Johnson hired Gary Selzy to drive the Winston car. High-profile car, big-name team, rookie driver, when there were some seriously talented guys sitting on the sideline. And literally everywhere they went, the media wanted to know, who is the new guy? You know, and again, you know, if you're looking for a guy that's capable, that has a proven track record, you know, Corey Mack is out there, as you mentioned. Larry Dixon is out there. There's plenty of people out there that could get in the car and drive it tomorrow. But what direction do you want to go, and what do you want to do? And, you know, if there's one thing about Connie Coletta, it's his car, it's his money, he's paying for it, he's doing the deal, and whatever he decides, he can decide. He don't have to explain it to nobody. And that's a nice position to be in if you're him. It'll just be interesting to see what decision gets made.
Listen, I might have to get off the phone in case the phone rings after you put the idea of me driving out there. You know, I definitely give a good interview, Alan.
Well, you know, if your call waiting beeps and it's a Michigan number, then go ahead and put me on hold.
Ypsilanti, baby. Ypsilanti. Yeah. I'll do it. And, hey, I weigh 148 pounds. I don't normally say that, and it's actually more in reality, but I will begin to purge immediately.
Yeah, you get down to that before the time for the weigh-in.
Exactly.
No,
all right.
There's just a lot of different opportunities out there. You know, obviously it's a good car. You also look at the performance that Doug's car has had. And if, you know, we've talked about over and over, you can't clone these cars. But if you can get the Bounty Hunter car running close to the Mack car, then there certainly is time to still make the countdown to the championship. You know, there's just a lot of different possibilities out there.
Very interesting story, and it did blow up all over Facebook and Twitter. Everyone was talking about it, and I'm glad we were able to delve deeply.
My favorite part was the times when I read, well, JR must have brought money, and I laughed out loud. I mean, I've known JR for a lot of years. He's not a guy that's ever brought money. He's been hired on merit every time, and, you know, he certainly doesn't have a personal fortune to go out and be able to finance the thing. So I just really thought that was funny. He was on loan from Bob Vandergriff, and in a couple of weeks, everything will be back to normal as far as JR is concerned.
And Vandergriff said on the broadcast very openly and that this is his final year. He did kind of make it not a hard, this is definitely my final year. He said, this is most likely my final year. It just sounds like they have a long-term plan that they are working between JR and Bob and what they want to do with the future of the team.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, he's been talking about that for quite a while. If a deal came together to put a second full-time car out there tomorrow, JR would be his driver. You know, the thought process, I believe, and I'm certainly not talking for Bob, if, you know, you want to get him on the show next week or something, feel free, but the thought process, I believe, is that next year, JR would take over the full-time car, and if they're going to run the second car 6, 8, 9 races, whatever, that maybe Bob would turn into the part-time guy. But he's got a lot of other stuff going on in his life, and, you know, I think he's kind of in a Johnny Gray position, where he enjoys the sport, he likes being involved, he certainly likes being a team owner, but he would like to be able to have a little more flexibility in the schedule than sitting down in January and filling out half your calendar with drag races.
Absolutely. The Morgan Lucas strategy.
There you go, exactly.
There is a perfect example. How about this? We've talked about Top Fuel for a while and haven't even gotten to the results. That shows you what an action-packed storyline it has been this past weekend in Vegas. Tony Schumacher wins his 73rd career race, 126 final rounds. It had been, what, 15 races since he had won? A virtual eternity for the Sarge, but gets it done over Doug Coletta, Antron Brown, Spencer Massey, and Troy Buff. And the Sarge will be on the show just minutes from now.
Well, Tony had a whale of a race. You know, obviously the second round when he and Spencer both smoked the tires was one that he kind of got away with, but they always say you need one lucky one. Other than that, it was all performance all day long, and he just flat-out run Doug Coletta. You know, 379 in the final to Doug's 381. Doug really probably looked like the favorite going in. He had made three clean runs coming into that point, and, you know, obviously look what he's done on the course of the season, three final rounds. This was his third final round. But Tony and Mike Green and the boys stepped it up, and it was funny in the press room. I said, you know, first time since Chicago. He said, I wish everybody would quit saying that. I said, well, it's true. And he was, you know, very open about the fact that, you know what, this team has gotten used to winning, and winning regularly and winning consistently. And when you don't, he said, it really wears on you. He said, you know, we're obviously good with you know, dealing with adversary, but that was a long drought for the Army team, and that's, they expect more of themselves than that. And he's hoping that this will be the beginning of some really bright things for that team, and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be.
Couple other points of note. Antron Brown, low ET of the meet, and was really strong, number one qualifier, and that team looking good. Also, Steve Torrence. How about those guys? Richard Hogan is back with Torrence, and they have had probably the most consistent start to a season that they have had.
Well, we're four races in. They've been to the semifinals all four times. Now, they haven't been to a final yet, but if consistency is the name of your game, then, you know, you can semifinal them to death. And I think, you know, to put it in NASCAR terms, if you run top five every week, you're going to get your wins. And right now, that's kind of the position they're in. They're semifinaling every week, and you just keep doing the same thing that you're doing, it's certainly going to pay off long term.
Absolutely. One final note on this. You know, we could go in depth. I want to talk about Doug and Jimmo in finals. In Pomona, they nuked the tires. In Pomona at the end of last year, if I recall, same thing. So there is a balance between trying to rotate the earth and roasting the tires and getting outrun. And these, like walking that tightrope back and forth, that's how you win a championship. You find out that sweet spot. And it seems like they are learning that right now.
Well, I think part of it also is who you're racing. And, you know, if in Pomona, Doug absolutely had the best car all weekend long, but he's going up against, you know, and take the drivers out of the equation. Jim Oberhoffer's going up against Alan Johnson in the final round. And he goes, okay, now we're going to need to make a move because we know how good Alan is. You know, and if he is racing, you know, the Joe Costello, Alan Reinhardt top fuel car, I think he wins Pomona because I don't think he's pressing as hard as he was against Allen. He let that one get away. So, lesson learned. You know, they go to Gainesville, had a very good car, had Antron in the final who also had a very good car, but they stuck to the game plan. Don't give it away. Make a clean run. They ended up on the victorious side. They come in here to Vegas. They had a better car than Tony Schumacher, you know, basically all day. And I'm not telling tales out of school. Doug was a hundredth behind him in the first round, but better than him in the second round, better than him in the semifinals. And I think you go in the final going, let's just stick with our game plan. If he beats us, he beats us. And Tony and Mike were able to step up and beat him. But you know, I would rather run 380 and get outrun than smoke the tires and give one away. And, you know, I think the way that car's running right now, they just need to, like I said about Torrance, just keep doing what you're doing because it's working perfectly. You know, don't all of a sudden start trying to reinvent things that are working fine for you.
In funny car, Alexis DeJoria, her second career win, has absolutely dominated Robert Height in their head-to-head 4-for-4 against Robert in two final rounds this year. Nothing taken away from the Auto Club Mustang, just a weird statistical anomaly. Nevertheless, Alexis winning her second race, and that Patron machine is all of a sudden ready to play a big-time contender.
Well, Tommy DeLago and the boys have definitely got that thing doing what they want to do with it. And Alexis's confidence is at an all-time high. You can just see it when you talk to her. You can hear it in her voice. You know, when you go up there with a car that you have a lot of confidence in, then it takes some of the pressure off the driver. And I think that's the position that she's in right now. And you know, Robert and Mike Neff, I think did about the same thing as Coletta. You know, they were a tick better than Alexis most of the day, and they go up in the final round and go, let's just do what we've been doing. If they can outrun us, they do. And, you know, Tommy D stepped up. Alexis made her best run of the weekend at 4:02 and was able to beat him. But it was a tremendous race. And the classic thing, you know, we always talk about if what you really remember, if what sticks in your mind is the last thing you see, A number of the fans, after the Nitro stuff was over with, went down to the winner's circle to meet the Nitro drivers and didn't hang around and watch all of the rest of the race. But if the last two runs you saw were the Funny Car Final and the Top Fuel Final, then you're absolutely going to come back. They were just two great races, but, you know, Alexis's car right now is running great. You know, Robert Height certainly got nothing to hang his head about. He's in the same position as Coletta. You know, he's been to three final rounds and won one out of the three. But you look at what the car's been doing and what the performance of that whole team is, and there's no reason to change anything. Just keep doing it.
Alexis beats Matt Hagen, Tony Pedregon, Cruz Pedregon, and Robert Height en route to victory. What do all those guys have in common?
They're all former world champions of the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. Nobody's going to be able to say she backed into that one.
That is a
four big-time cars.
Great stat, absolute great stat. Alexis not going to be on the show today, folks, but we have got a strong confirmation she will be on next week as we get ready for Four Wide, so we will notch Alexis's victory on the WFO scoreboard. We'll just do it next week. Going to give us a little more time with Erica Ender-Stevens and the Can-Am Horsepower Challenge. Alan, she races Dave Connolly in the final round. Crew chief, former crew chief, who is a great driver, versus the driver he was crew chiefing for. The two of them matching up, and Erica picks up the Can-Am Horsepower Challenge.
Well, last year, remember, Erica went to the final in the Horsepower Challenge and also the final in the national event. Lost both of them to Brutus. This year she went to both finals and turned them the other way. And, you know, those guys can talk until the end of time about how it's just another round, it's just another race. But there's no question that when Erica's in one lane and Dave Connolly's in the other, both of them are taking it personally. They both feel like they've got something to prove. You know, Dave let the clutch out and his car was out of control. I don't believe he ever got it in second gear. And Erica just streaked off to victory in the Horsepower Challenge.
We mentioned earlier the wild rumors that circulate, especially on the internet. I think you call them keyboard crew chiefs, et cetera, and so on, which I think is a funny line. But there is a lot out there that I really don't know what's true, what's not true, what's real, what's not real out there regarding Dave and Erica and their time together, their time now apart.
You know, I think they have respect for each other, but I think that they both feel like they've got something to prove. You know, Dave was instrumental in a lot of Erica's success. You know, they had great communication back and forth. They, you know, worked together very well as teammates, but, you know, teammates get separated, sometimes through, you know, not necessarily their own doing. And, you know, hey, you want to prove that I was a big part of that equation, too. I think there's a lot of respect between the two of them, but I definitely think that both of them feel a little something extra when they pull up in the other lane.
She has a chance to double up and take home $100,000. You mentioned earlier, because of the win, the schedule was askew. So Pro Stock is running late in the day. Jed Coughlin, number one qualifier, taken out second round by Jimmy Olund, who, that's the entire nation of Sweden, just went crazy when that happened. And so big day for Jimmy. Erica beats Larry Morgan, Steve Kent, Chris McGahey. Huge day for Chris. Unfortunate way he went out to Erica.
Yeah, you know, Mom said there'd be days like that. He is still, I think, kind of getting used to the newfound power and being expected to win instead of going out there and you know, just being one of the guys, for lack of a better term. You know, I was really surprised that, and even though I've been to every race, and you'd think I would know this, but I was really surprised that that was his first round wins of the year. Remember, he was number one qualifier earlier in the year and got bounced in the first round. But he's still kind of getting used to that. You know, he ends up getting the yips in the semifinals and going red by a little bit. But, you know, I think it was just, you know, the stars aligned for Erica this weekend. And, you know, there was just no denying her in the elite team.
She takes down Jason Lyon in the final round. Chris McGahey going to have great days. But you mentioned that once she... I love talking about how the focus changes. Like, we've got to get a faster car. We've got to get a faster car. All right, we've got a faster car. Now, a lot of the pressure changes back to the driver. And it's very hard to win these races.
It is very hard to win the races. But if you've got the best car, then you're expected to win. And maybe that puts a little pressure on the driver. I think a lot of it depends on the driver. You know, Chris had a lot of success in the sportsman ranks. He's going to be fine. He's just still getting used to the fact that, hey, we've got one of the faster cars out here. When for the first couple of years of his Pro Stock career, he was, you know, a middle to bottom half qualifier and, you know, maybe he'd went around here or around there, but he really wasn't a threat to win. And when the expectations are there, that really, you know, there's no pressure on your team, there's no pressure on anybody. If you go out and you make a bad run, you screw up, you miss the tree, hey, no big deal. You know, we probably weren't going very far anyway. But when you're in the position now, then you're in a whole lot brighter spotlight, and it just takes some getting used to. And Chris, you know, obviously with Jim Yates over there helping him, who's been through the wars before and come out the champion a couple of times, they're going to be fine. They just need some time to find their comfort zone.
Already have spoken with Jim. He's coming on the show at some point this year. In the alcohol classes, Joey Severance and Nick Janik. Comp Eliminator, Lou Fico Jr., The Terminator, Peter Biondo doubles up. He's on the show. Steve Williams from K&N wins at the race that the K&N Horsepower Challenge happens. That's very well timed in Super Comp. Trevor Larson in Super Gas.
Nick Janik was a great story. You know, he's never really done much in the alcohol funny car ranks. He is a Las Vegas native, so he's out there defending his home racetrack. But he's been getting a little guidance, at least over the phone, if nothing else, from Frank Manzo. And all of a sudden, the performance of his car turned around big time. If you see the Sportsman show that's going to air next weekend, I do believe, you know, Jay Payne had a great line in the semifinals when John Kernan said something about what do you do for the final. He said, we got to do something because he's a tenth faster than we are. And Nick Janik, there was a lot of guys out there going, who? But by the end of the weekend, everybody was sure familiar with that green and black car, and hopefully he'll be able to keep that going. You look at Joey Severance right now, and you know, obviously, there's a lot of racing left to go, but he has put a lot of points on the board here in the first part of the season, and that car really looks like it's the dominant car on the West Coast right now.
Last weekend, I got to see the Gator National Sportsman Show and just love seeing that WFO radio sticker on the front of the Dan Pomponio machine go to the winner's circle. That was pretty cool. Got a little TV time thanks to the Pomponio family.
Well, there you go.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Alan, one final note. Obviously, we... obviously want to cover everything. Ashley Force Hood, relicensed. 4 flat? Just jumped back in the car and went 4, what was her first run? Like 4.11 and then an 0.8 and then a flat? Is that how it went?
Yeah, she went an early shutoff 4.11 and then 0.8. And I think 4.01. I don't know that she went 4 flat, but she went 4.01. Yeah, it looked like she'd never been away. You know, I think it's kind of like riding a bike. But now she's got the renewed license back in hand, so if the opportunity were to present itself, who knows? You know, I still don't believe that there's any plan for her to jump back into a car full time in the immediate future. But you know, being prepared is, you know, having something and not needing it is better than needing something and not having it.
That impresses me. I am very impressed by Ashley being able to jump in a car and first run down the track, run early shutoff 4.11. Just from what these drivers tell me, the launch experience is like to have not done it for several years and first time in. To just do it, that's very impressive to me.
Yeah, and from the time flies, I mean, you realize it was the Auto Club Finals 2010 the last time she was in a car.
Whoa!
I kept thinking, you know, yeah, she hadn't been in a car for a year or so. It's like, no, it's 3.5 years actually. And no, she did a great job with the thing. I didn't get a chance to talk to her, but I was out at the racetrack and saw a couple of the runs, and she really just looked like her old self. So, you know, I don't think there's it. Obviously, it's in the genes. If you grew up with the name Force, you're going to be able to drive a race car. You know, all of the girls have been very good at it and adapted very well as they came up through the ranks, and Ashley certainly hasn't forgotten how to drive a funny car.
And I'm looking right now. They've got something in the mail, a commemoration of the 16-time champion sent from John Force Racing for the WFO Radio Studios here. Very cool. I tweeted and posted a picture of it the other day. I am greatly appreciative of it. Any racing-style decorations for the studio are always appreciated. And how about that? A piece of 16-time championship history.
Right on, right on.
Alan, great job as usual. Thank you so much. It was awesome listening to you guys on the NHRA app. It was. It felt like being there.
Well, next week you will be there, right?
Yes, sir. 4 wide, baby. Hey, Alan, we've got a banner ad for the 4 wide Nationals on the front page of WFOradio.com. They are tracking the movements of the WFO Radio audience. Do you think the WFO Radio audience will have a good time at the 4 wide Nationals?
I don't think there's any way to not have a good time at the 4 wide Nationals. It is something that absolutely must be experienced. And, you know, interestingly enough, everywhere I go, people ask about that. Even people that are the hardcore purists of drag racing being 2x2, it's like, you know, I'd like to see that just once. And if you haven't yet seen it, then you need to come out and definitely be a part of it. And if you have seen it, then you're probably already wanting to come back because the display of horsepower is just absolutely ungodly.
It is a spectacle. It, simply put, it is a spectacle. It is awesome. It is great stuff. And hopefully they get their tickets and come on out to Four Wide. We're going to do a tweet up after the winner's circle. That is my plan. Alan, great job as usual. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe. Always a pleasure. And as strange as this keeps sounding when I say it, I'm going to get back to working on my Camaro.
Anybody want to buy a Camaro? Hey, what if one of our audience members is like desperately looking for a 68 convertible, perfect mint condition Camaro, Alan? Would it be a disservice to not tell them about it?
Send me a note on Twitter, or you can send me an email through WFO Radio, and Joe will forward it to me.
Absolutely, I will. And you never know. The car is sweet, right? What is it, a 327 with a what?
It's 327, two-barrel, power glide, air conditioning, power steering.
Arizona,
red on red.
Arizona car, no rust.
Arizona car, absolutely, completely, 100% original, unmolested, no rust.
Love it. I love it. Let's move the car, folks. Alan, great job as usual. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. We'll talk to you next week, if not before.
Thanks, Alan. The NHRA's Alan Reinhart joins us each week right here on WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. If you want to buy that Camaro, you better act fast. Because he picked it up a couple weeks ago, and it's a very slick car, I got to admit. I just think it's funny that Reinhardt's got a Chevy. That is the comedy of the whole thing. And it's very nice. It's very nice. What a race out there in Vegas. We're going to get into it. We got the Sarge. We got Erica Ender Stevens. We got Peter Biondo. And we've got Bob Smith, right? Perfect name for a Vegas handicapper, Bob Smith. He's going to join us, going to give us his impressions of the whole thing. We're all fans. We're all big fans. We're out there at the events. I know that there are some listeners who listen to the show but haven't been to an event for whatever reason. And you really should go, but I understand there are reasons to not be able to go. And Bob went, and he's going to give his impressions. I think it's a very good research that I am doing on behalf of the sport of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing to take a person from the sporting industry who is a big NASCAR oval track fan and send him out to the drag races. See what they think. Well, we shall see when we return. Want to remind everybody, though, the Four Wide National, Z-Max, baby. If you're in the area, if you're in Georgia, if you're in Tennessee, if you're in Virginia, if you're in West Virginia, if you're in New Jersey, if you're in North Florida, if you're in Alabama, it's not going to be that long a drive. Come on down. See the Four Wide. Click the banner ad on the front page of WFOradio.com to find out more. In the archive section under clips, you can hear Christian Bird. He's the general manager. A lot of great stuff going on. The Four Wide Nationals will do a WFO tweet up after the winner's circle. It's going to be great. Come on out, and I will see you there. When we return, Don Schumacher Racing, Tony Schumacher, the Sarge, followed by Bob Smith. When we return, right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They got to make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Videos. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine, published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, where you hear the winners. They win, they come on the show, we talk with them. It's time to go Top Fuel Racing with the Sarge. He is back. Tony Schumacher joins us now. Welcome back, Sarge. It's been a little while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I forgot how to do these things.
No way. Listen, I ask questions, you answer the questions. How long has it been? 15 races?
Too long. You know what? I won't say too long. It was absolutely enjoyable yesterday because of how long it was. And I think people need to remember that the adversity that you have got to get through to win a race, you know, after that long is fantastic. I think the kids out there, it's easy to smile when you're winning. It's difficult to hold a team together when you're getting beat first and second round, and we struggled for a long time. So I'm happy to be back. Got a great race car, man, and I love Vegas. Just love this place.
Vegas, baby. 73 career wins, 126 career final rounds. I know someone at NHRA is probably making a banner that says 75 and putting it in the back of a truck somewhere for the next couple of races. But these numbers that you're racking up, even though it may have been 15 races, you're still adding to the culmination of the most victories in Top Fuel history.
I'm going to keep trying. You know, I'm going to keep making that list longer and set the bar high enough because there are some great drivers out here. And Antron's one of them. You know, he's got a pretty good record going. A lot of the wins come from the bike, but still a pro category. So you want to set that bar extremely high and make it difficult. And I do a lot of speeches. You know that, man. That's like, I talk to these kids all the time. My favorite speech right now is the everybody doesn't win speech. And I'm so tired of these poor kids hearing, you know, when they're playing musical chairs, that everyone gets a cheer and we all win and here everyone gets a trophy. Because I will guarantee you for the last 15 races, they didn't give me a darn trophy. Someone else got it. It's just a fact, man. And I think it's necessary for kids to learn that they have to work extra hard, try very, very hard to get through adversity, dig deep, work out, do everything they got to do to earn a trophy because it is not a gift.
I hear you motivating young people out there. I can see the intent when you're looking into the camera, when you're doing an interview. It seems apparent to me that you are trying to break through to some of the young people out there to tell them, hey, listen, here's some advice. Get out there, get it done because you need it. You need direction. You need advice. It seems like that's what you're doing.
Well, you know, I drive the Army car, and I've been inspired by some great people. But the fact of the matter is it is our country. This is our country. We can't breed lazy. We got to teach our youth to work. And I think we got a serious situation going on right now where we're telling everyone, no problem, don't work. It's all free. It's not. It is not that way. When they get older and go to get their job, and the teachers have all told them that everybody gets a job, everybody wins, you know, that's nonsense. They're going to walk in and when it doesn't happen, they're not going to understand it because they've been taught the wrong thing. I think it's up to us as parents. You know, I got three beautiful kids myself, and between me and my wife, helping, and that's what we're doing. We're helping these kids become educated on life, and that is what we're supposed to do as a parent, man. It is not the teacher's job to do, it's a parent's job. We got to tell them the facts, what our beliefs are, and we got to pass it on to them. So, yeah, I have a chance to reach a lot of kids because of what I do for a living. And, you know, parents come up to me and they go, look, my kid jumps on his bed and he says, I'm Tony Schumacher. And I go, great. But what does he do after that? If he thinks he's me, what does he think I'm like? You know, I want to make sure he sees the right thing so that he gets as trends in the right direction, because nothing's easy out there, but everything's obtainable. You just got to try hard.
You got to try hard, and you guys were on at qualified fifth, first round. You take down Troy Buff with an 80, and then it's all about the teammates. You had to go through Spencer and Antron back-to-back. Spencer, you were able to pedal it. That was a real driver's win right there. You ran 486, but you said you really like those, where you can really factor in.
Well, yeah, sometimes it's a crew chief day, and they just make the car go fast, and you just got to be a machine and do your job, keep it straight. Sometimes, and then with second round, you get beat on that second round, you don't win the race, and it doesn't matter if the crew chief does great the next three. You know, you've got to go out there and do your job, and you got to be a machine. And it's the most fun. It's like riding a bull. I don't want to ride a cow. I want the thing to be pissed off and try to throw me off. That's why I'm sitting on it. You know, I want an animal, and when those cars smoke the tires, they are a beast. So much fun to drive.
When you're doing that, is it, what are you doing? Are you finessing the pedal? Are you just muscling the pedal? Like, give me an idea of what it takes to handle what that second run was about. We all saw it. It looked pretty brutal. What are you doing in there?
Well, it was extremely windy out too. So I hammered the gas and the car was on a good run. And then I didn't even feel it. No shake or anything. It just went into smoke. You're off the throttle. When you come off it, unfortunately, most of the time, it's hard. We don't let it settle down enough, and I didn't let it settle down quite enough, so, you know, it goes back up in smoke, usually two or three times, so you can stop it and squeeze the throttle. I actually pedaled that thing four or five times, and I was on it. It was sideways. It was a blast. It was probably straight on TV, but it sure feels sideways when you're out there. It feels like you're on ice. You guys ever hit ice, and you're going straight, but it's kind of slipping around? That's what it feels like, except every time you hit the gas, you go to 5 G's, negative couple G's, back 5 G's. It's beating you up.
I can't.
In a ring with Tyson, man.
You're in the right city for that. You mentioned the wind. What about that crosswind? They couldn't even run pro stockers because of the lack of downforce. Why is it that you guys are able to go into that wind and fight that wind? Is it because you're going so fast? Is it because you have so much downforce?
Yeah, we got so much downforce. We could drive these cars upside down. I mean, Indy cars could do the same thing. Pro stock just doesn't have the wings on them, and you know, yeah, we understand we're in a dangerous sport. We're going very fast, but you can't do stupid things. And NHRA was, you know, founded basically by Wally Parks to say, hey, kids, let's do smart things. So you can't bring a pro stock car out here that you know is going to crash in this wind and send them down the track. I think they made a great call. You know, ultimately got the race done. Just had a schedule a little different. So good call from the NHRA. Is doing their job.
You go toe-to-toe against AB in the semis. He dropped a cylinder. You go on to victory, and then with a big 327-mile-per-hour speed, too. That was top speed of the event. And then the final round against Doug Coletta. Those guys have been just riding the crest of success. A very strong start to 2014. Doug winning the Amalie Motor Oil Gator Nationals, making another final round. But you with a 797 at 326, you were able to light the wind light.
I can't tell people how much I enjoyed that race. Coletta, man. I mean, you know, 06, everyone remembers the run. You know, we, you know, people always stole the championship. That was steal it. We earned it. But, you know, Doug's a very respectable guy, a phenomenal driver, always rises to the occasion. It makes me a better man because he makes me try harder. And, you know, it's, just a great matchup. Fans paid big money, and that's what we understand that this is marketing dollars. We go out and we try to get people to come to the race. They spend all this money to come out there. We try to give them a great show. You can't ask for a better final round than 0.002 seconds between a Schumacher and a Coletta. That's it, man. All the money you spent to be out here all day long buying $30 hot dogs was worth it. Watch that run.
Absolutely. Now, Tony, I'm noticing, I'm feeling, I'm sensing. I know you are also a proponent, a fan of the sport, and you are actively trying to get more people interested and involved everywhere you go. You have a huge personal investment in your time and also money into this sport. I'm sensing like this magical, like a feeling going on about the Colettas this year in 2014. There's a lot of positive energy, a lot of old school fans supporting Connie, all that. They've had a great year. They are back. It's your job to prevent them from winning a championship. You have to stop them if you're going to win. How do you feel about being that guy?
Well, I'll tell you this. I want to win the championship, and I'm going to do everything in my power. But if I can't win it, and he does, I'm going to go over there and give him the biggest hug he's ever had, because I've been there. I've watched them suffer, man. I watched his face when we did that 06 run. Man, I still see that, you know. And it doesn't mean we don't show up and race hard. It doesn't mean we're not good friends. But he goes out and earns himself a championship, I will be the first one to congratulate him. Great, great team. But again, my sole purpose in life is to make sure they can't eat. I'm gonna take all the money if I and win these races, man. It's my job, you know. I got soldiers all over the world counting on me going out there and doing my job, being a machine. So, but that being said, Connie's got a pretty good handle on it this year. When he finds it, man, he's tough to beat.
You got to be greedy if you're going to be a winner out there.
I am greedy.
Four wide.
You have no friends at 300 miles an hour, man.
Isn't that the truth? Four wide coming up next race on the tour, back out east, the Bellagio of drag strips. We're now several years into the four wide experiment, and at least from what I gather, the negativity seems to have melted away, and people are embracing the fact that this is a once a year spectacle at a great racetrack. What about you?
Yeah, I don't even care anymore. It is what it is. I don't think people like it. I don't think people, you know, three cars, you know, or three rounds instead of four. I don't know. But Bruton's a great guy, and Bruton asked us to do it, and we'll do it. That's it. You know, I think it's the best thing is it's me and Coletta in the finals, right? We just talked about me and Coletta. We talked about, you know, racing Antron. You put three other cars next to you, it's no longer a rivalry. It's just a big pile of stuff happening. You take away the whole purpose of drag racing. You take away the you know, the Coletta Schumacher final. All of a sudden, there's just a ton of cars.
It is certainly wild. The next race on the tour, the Four Wide Nationals. Tony, thank you so much for taking the time. Congratulations. Now, is it going to be another 15 races? When can we pencil you in next?
No, I only got to win three rounds at the next one. It's an easy one. That's why I've never done it.
Excellent.
All you got to do is win three rounds. And how many finals have I been in?
126. 126.
Yeah, okay. So, I'm good at winning three rounds.
Yes. Hey, your win percentage is pretty solid, though, too. 73 out of 126. That'll get you in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, sounds good, man.
All right, Tony.
One of these days, man. Thank you.
There he goes, Tony Schumacher, with us here on WFO Radio. And I love his attitude, and I get what he is saying about everybody getting a trophy for participation. There is another side to it, though. You don't want to turn every child into a man-eating, flesh-biting, rabid little competitor, depending on what they are doing. But I get what he is saying, absolutely. There is a balance. There is a balance. The musical chairs that he brings up, except where everybody has a chair, that is so less fun than when there is one less chair than all the people. Because I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. This is what you get here on WFO, and this is why you're all logging on every week. I know this. If everybody has a chair in musical chairs, then it's just people walking around and sitting. Think about that for a minute. I know, another great wisdom heard here on WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. Speaking of wisdom, he is a professional Vegas handicapper at William Hill, the home of betting. They have sportsbooks all across Nevada. He does our odds on the WFO Radio Ignition Show, and he has been one of our WFO Radio tailgate party handicappers for, like, I don't know, since 2004. Since 2004, for 10 years, this guy has been on my shows, handicapping, making picks on the Ignition Show. We talk NASCAR all the time. He's a diehard NASCAR fan. He's a professional handicapper. And he went out to the NHRA this weekend. He went to the Strip in Vegas. He was there. He experienced it. He joins us now, the legendary Bob Smith. Bob, welcome to WFO. How are you?
WFO, Joe. That's what I have to say.
That's what you have to say? Seriously.
Oh, my goodness. It was fast. It was loud. It was a lot of fun. I saw a lot of kids, a lot of wives and girlfriends. I mean, it was just a very family-oriented sport. Everybody I met was just fantastically friendly. Went by the John Force compound, but didn't see him. He wasn't there. But everybody that I did meet was just very friendly, very open, you know, willing to talk to you. So I had a really good time.
Now, you are a NASCAR fan, so you're a motorsports guy. You like racing. You get it, the whole idea of guys and cars and machines and whatnot. You had just been to the NASCAR race a couple of weeks previous and got the experiences back to back. They are different, but there are some similar aspects, too, in terms of the energy.
True. And I must admit, I am a huge NASCAR guy, but I did enjoy the pacing of the dragsters, of the NHRA stuff, because when it was time to go, boom, they got up there, they raced, But then when they were done, there was time to go among, you know, go out and get a hot dog, get a beer. You know, I saw some people going back out to their cars to get, you know, the tailgate for a little while and then come back in later when they were, when the qualifiers were going on. So it, you just had the whole gamut of things going on. It was awesome.
Tell me about your first experience walking up, watching the cars, maybe getting a little nitromethane in your eyes, in your face. And I know you've seen fast cars before, but these cars are 100 miles per hour faster. What was your initial impression when you first saw either a Nitro Funny Car or a Top Fuel Dragster?
Well, the first ones that I got out there for, I got out in time for the Pro Stocks. And I'm down there by the start-finish line, and they do the burnout, and I'm smelling the tires, you know, and this is pretty cool. But, it's, you know, they weren't that loud. And I'm like, boy, why are all these people wearing these earplugs? I don't understand that. You know, they said it'd be loud, but I didn't think it was that loud. And so they ran through the qualifiers pretty quick and then walked around a little bit, and they came back in time for the Top Fuel. And, oh, my goodness, when they went off, I thought I was going to go deaf. It was just loud, and, I mean, you blink, they were gone. As a matter of fact, I took a picture, and they were gone. They weren't even in the frame. They were just gone.
That is awesome. By the way, those Pro Stocks running speeds faster than a flat-out qualifying lap at Atlanta or Texas in the Cup Series, just to put it in perspective. But, yes, the noise is not comparable when you're talking to those Nitro cars.
Oh, my goodness. It's like, okay, now I know why they have the earplugs.
Yeah. Oh, yes, and it just shakes your soul. So you were out there for Saturday for qualifying, so you got to see a lot of good stuff, and it was the qualifying show. You're watching as guys are trying to make the show, frankly, and the ones who did not qualify in the quickest 16, they go home. That's kind of a difference.
It is a little bit different, but I like that, you know, hey, you know, that anybody, if you're fast enough, you can win.
And there is a
I really like that.
There's a single elimination tournament. You being a professional Vegas handicapper at William Hill, the home of betting, you guys are into a little tournament as well right now. What do you think of that single elimination, me versus you, my guys versus your guys? We line up, we race two by two, the winner advances, the loser goes home.
I like it. I really do. I think it's it puts it all on the line, because even I noticed a couple of the races on Saturday, even the guys that were quote-unquote the big money guys, they didn't win their race. And I was like, oh, my. And so I thought that was really interesting.
Well, in qualifying, you're really just putting up times, and so it's less important. On Sunday, race day, it's whoever gets to the finish line first. And so that's something for your future attendance. We got to get you back out there. Now that you have seen it once, you've experienced it, you went through the gate, would you say your likeliness of going back has increased now that you've been exposed, so to speak?
Oh, definitely. I think, like I said, it was a lot of fun, a lot of families, a lot of, you know, family and friendly environment out there. So it was a good time. It was a beautiful weather. Vegas, we're having some beautiful weather right now.
Well, Sunday was very windy. In fact, the Pro Stocks were held until late in the day till the wind, like 30 to 40 mile per hour gusts, were kicking. And they're able to run the Nitro cars because they've got a lot of wing and downforce, but the Pro Stocks had to be held up. So it was an interesting day, to say the least. What about handicapping? Is there potential for handicapping these races?
I think there is. The one thing that you've got is you can look at back on qualifying runs. You can look back at how they've done it at the track before. You can look at how they've done it at other tracks. And so there is some I got to sit down and talk to some of the guys here and see what they think. The one disadvantage that I think we have is we'd have to get it up early and then take it down on Friday, unless we were going to have somebody out at the track that was giving us live updates.
Oh, I like it. How about a live walk-up window?
I don't know how gaming would feel about that, but it would be awesome.
And I'm not speaking on behalf of the NHRA either. It's just an idea, you know. Let's turn it into a horse track or a paramutual. But bottom line, Bob, you had a great time. Did you get to meet any drivers? Did you get to meet any drivers? Did you get to see anyone, have any face-to-face contact?
I saw them on the stages. You know, I didn't recognize any of them as I was walking around. So if I did meet them, I didn't realize that I met them.
Oh, well, that can happen at a drag race. They are all around you.
So it was a lot of fun. And the one thing I've noticed is, boy, are there a lot of golf carts around.
Yes. Yes, it's golf cart heaven out there. And they're not crummy rental golf carts either. They're like customized.
No, these are nice.
Everything's nice. It's the best car show in the world is really what it is. Then the sportsman cars, I'm sure you saw many of them cruising around. They're not the pros. They're your local friends and neighbors and business owners, but they are out there with the opportunity to compete as well. There were probably between 300 and 400 cars on the grounds and in various classes.
It was incredible because when you would, like you said, when you would walk around and you could see just the different vehicles everywhere. And the one nice thing is they have all the vendors out there that are not only selling T-shirts and stuff like that, but, you know, the oil filters and the oil and the shocks and, you know, the radios and everything else you can think of. So, you know, you could just go out there and get completely outfitted.
Now, were you there by yourself or was Mrs. Bob Smith with you?
No, she didn't want to go. So I said, I'm going.
Good job.
Bye, have a good time.
Good job. Well, Bob, listen, I'm glad you liked it. This is the big thing for me. I always like to try to get people to go the first time. That's the big challenge because people don't know what they're going to experience. They just don't have any idea what it's going to be like. And to get them through the door the first time is the toughest thing. So I'm glad you went. Now for maybe some of our fans who have been listening, believe it or not, there are a lot of listeners that have never been to an event. A lot of fans, they've never gone. And maybe a little testimonial from Bob Smith will help him out. Now, you're going to be on the Ignition Show this week. We've got a tough road to hoe here. We did not pick a winner again.
We were so close. We had four of the top six, but still no winner for the last couple weekends. So we got to turn that around.
We are going to do it. I look forward to speaking with you on the Ignition Show on Wednesday. But thank you so much for coming on NHRA Nitro here earlier in the week. I'm glad you had a great time and got to see the strip out there at Vegas. I know you've been to the Circle Track many times. Now you got to see them both. So a little something checked off your bucket list as well. And thank you for giving us your impressions, Bob. Much appreciated.
My pleasure. Hey, and I would encourage, because I saw a lot of fathers bringing their sons and daughters out, and just the smile on the kids' faces. You know, they enjoyed it for their first time out there. So I would encourage you, if you watched it on TV, it's pretty cool on TV, but it's so much better in person.
And isn't that just the absolute tagline for drag racing in general? It absolutely is so much cooler in person. Next time you watch it on TV, Bob, though, you'll have a different perspective. You'll know what's going on behind the glass, and it will change your perspective a little bit. Bob, thank you so much.
My pleasure, guys, and we'll talk to you later in the week.
Thanks, Bob. Bob Smith with us here on WFO Radio, and you'll hear Bob on the Ignition Show, which happens on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. We, at the tail end of the show, we bring on Bob, we bring on Tommy, we make our picks for every NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race against the Las Vegas odds. Everybody else in the world is doing it just like trying to pick the winners. We are doing it against Vegas odds. This is about handicapping. It is about gambling. It is directly connected into the sports books of the world thanks to the odds made by Bob Smith at William Hill, the home of betting. And you can find out more at williamhill.us. Bob has been doing this with us for 10 years. Can you believe that? And his first NHRA Mellow Yellow Series experience. I think that the sport left an excellent impression on him. I noticed family friendly, father's sons, lots of family. He hit on, without even knowing about it, he hit on the family-friendly nature, he hit on the diversity in the sport, and he hit on the general variety and good time of the cars that you will see. And, of course, the speed and the loudness, something you can't escape from if you go out and check out the sport. Remember, Z-Max Dragway, check that out. But also, all you folks out there in California, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School is coming your way. The Dragster Adventure, it's about to happen. Get on the website, frankhawley.com. You can drive. You can race. You will be controlling your own destiny. You will be turning the wheel. You will be feeling the acceleration. You can even race against other people there. Not a fake race, but a real race. This is something you can't get everywhere else. You can't get it anywhere else. On the planet, from what I understand, there are no schools that really let you have this sensation. You got to open a browser. You got to give them a call. You got to check it out. Open a browser right now. Let's do it all together. FrankHawley.com. And the browser is opening. And, of course, I'm using Firefox and everything is great. And there they are, side-by-side racing. You can call them, 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 for Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. We'll be back with Erica Enders Stevens, double up winner, $100,000. Are you kidding me? When we return.
This is WFO Radio. Get ready, race fans. The NHRA Speed Demons are back at C-Max Dragway. And April 11th through the 13th, it's four wide and double the power. The four wide nationals are going to rock your world. See John Forrest, Antron Brown, Ron Capps, and Courtney Forrest blister the C-Max Dragway at 330 miles per hour. Get your tickets today to the four wide nationals, the most powerful drag race on the planet. Kids 13 and under are free, and every ticket is a pit pass. Don't wait. Call 1-800-455-FANS now.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas. What a weekend it was. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, following up with the Mellow Yellow Series winners. And we've got big winners on the show. Huge winners. But I don't think anybody won as big as this young lady. Joining us now, Erica Enders Stevens, 100K. That is a huge victory. Erica, welcome back.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me.
You doubled up. You win the K&N Horsepower Challenge. First female to do that. You win the race. What is it like rolling out of Vegas after a weekend like that?
I think that's what you call bringing home the hardware, but I'm just so proud of my team and so honored to be their driver and be a part of it. And, you know, we've gone into this weekend with the hopes of doing this, but to be able to fly home and just have to pinch yourself for the fact that it really happened is awesome.
And right afterwards, you went right into the casino and you gambled it all.
Hell no. I don't gamble. My gambling's shopping, and then that way I have something to show for it.
Well, I can imagine there was some good shopping after that as well. You're certainly in the right place in Vegas with all those stores, but this was a very big deal. This is a statement race for you and this team. Obviously, all the switching that you guys did and getting on board with Richard Freeman and Elite Motorsports and Ricky and everybody there to go out and win this race, and the way you did it is a super statement for your team.
I agree with you. It's a huge testament to the guys and how hard that they work. And, you know, Richard Freeman has given us a platform to do our jobs and has provided us with all the tools to be successful and spent his guts out to no end, but you know, I've just got a really great group of guys on my team, and they stand behind me and have my back, and they work their tails off, and it's so cool to see everything come together the way it has in such a short amount of time. I mean, we've only been together for 4 races now, and, you know, I keep track of the runs in the car, and that, I mean, I only have like 38 runs in that car with that team, so it just goes to show how wonderful they really are.
All right, let's start out with the K&N Horsepower Challenge, which is a great event sponsored by K&N, and racers have to earn their way into it. You earned your way into it. Comes down to the final round. You've got to go up against Dave. And what is the dynamic right now, Erica? Because I've heard some storylines that suggest that there's a friction or a bad blood. I've at the same time heard the storylines that you guys are still great friends. Regardless of which of those is true, racing Dave in the final round of such an exclusive race had to be a very personal, dramatic moment.
It was definitely dramatic, and, you know, I've gotten a lot of questions about that, and you can keep my personal life personal. We learned that with the big hoopla with Greg Anderson a couple years ago. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, the media is no place to air your dirty laundry by any means, but Dave was a tremendous friend of mine. He was a groomsman in my wedding, and, you know, my crew chief, and stood behind my car for 6 of my wins and 10 final round appearances. So we certainly have a history, and prior to working together, we were friends for 10 years, but he's a good driver, and you can't take that away from him, and they've got a great organization over there. And but it's not about that. I don't care who's in the other lane. It's about me and my car and my team and our lane, and me getting up on the wheel to try to crack whoever's over there, and the guys putting the car underneath me, and everything just worked out, I think, the way it was supposed to work out this weekend, and just all the hard work finally paid off, so I'm very pleased.
And you win the K&N Horsepower Challenge, and that has got to give you just a big boost of confidence, momentum, whatever you want to call it, winning before the race even starts. We've seen a lot of racers double up at this event. Do you think that's the reason, just the added boost to confidence?
Well, it confidence certainly has a lot to do with it. I mean, it's hard to put into words, and I think that if you watched any of the TV coverage, you could probably see that by my interviews. I really struggled putting it into words this weekend. You know, it was hard to not show emotion because this race had such significant meaning, but the confidence is absolutely, it gives me such a peace of mind knowing that I have a car that is capable of winning not only races but contending for a championship this year, and then having the guys that, you know, that work their tails off and put it underneath me, and that no matter what, we're going A to B, and that's our goal. And, you know, we missed doubling up last year when AJ got it done. We shook in both final rounds, and, you know, if we would have gone A to B then, you know, shoulda, coulda, woulda, hindsight 2020, but all we had to do was get down because AJ shipped too. But just one of them deals. God's got a plan, and it all comes together when it's supposed to. And but confidence and being able to have fun doing what you love again, and all of that plays a huge role into the mindset and the peace of mind as a driver behind the wheel.
So you're the winner at the K&N Horsepower Challenge, but then you roll into race day on Sunday, and you got to run Larry Morgan. And it seems to me, I don't know if you keep track of how often you run people, but I kind of sense that you and Larry have run a lot. Am I right about that?
I feel like that, too, so it must be accurate. Larry and Diane are tremendous people. They're two of a small minority out there that are just really good to the core and care about people and aren't there to snake sponsors or rides or stab you in the back. They're just good to the core, and I love them. And he came out, you know, we hugged and everything beforehand with his whole crew and all my guys, and he said, you know, I root for you every single weekend. He's like, but this one run I just can't, I'm sorry. So he's such a jokester, and I love him, but it does seem like we've had to race a lot this year.
You're able to get by Larry, and then in the second round, Steve Kent, that's a program that is growing and developing, and they are trying to find whatever that magic is, what lies in those 500 cubic inches, and it's hard to make horsepower. You're able to get around the secret that Richard and those guys have uncovered in the recent last year or so. You're able to get around them with a 662.6 at 208, going on to the semis, where you have to match up against Chris McGahey in a race that he's got to be thinking about right now. And this is one of those where just the more experience you have, you're going to go through this. But he sets low ET of the event, but lit the red light a little ahead of you, who was also early. Tell me about how that run worked out, staging, the process. You guys were both a little bit early. Was there a reason?
Well, in the 22 years that I've been racing, I find that every race win or successful weekend, there's always a lucky round, and that was certainly it for us. But, you know, just looking at it on paper doesn't explain what all went down up there. You know, I went into stage, and when I decked the motor, like went on to the high side to get ready to leave, the car like had some unburnt fuel in the headers and made a really loud backfire noise, and that threw me off my game a little bit. And I think him leaving so early also, you know, might have triggered something as well. But I felt like I met the lights coming on, and I screwed up. But thankfully he screwed up worse. But you know, going back and looking at the data, you know, a lot of drivers didn't really kill the tree this weekend, so I felt like the stage beans might have been a little loose this weekend. But in the semifinals, Jason was 006, and Jimmy Alund was, I think, like 16 or 18 on the tree. So they had two of their best reaction times for the whole weekend. So I feel like the starting line might have been a little bit tighter up there. So that definitely played into our strategy, setting the car up to go into the finals for me. As a driver, you can adjust your clutch pedal and an air gap and some other things that can either speed up or slow down your reaction time. So it's sort of like a legal delay box, but it certainly played into our strategy going into the finals, and it was our lucky round. But there was way more that went into that than it looks like on the time slip.
I can imagine, and you know, that's why we do the WFO Radio NHRA Nitro show, to have you on to tell us about it, because I could not hear the backfire, but I can imagine. And that right there, Erica, is a moment that, man, the fans, I know they wish they could be there. You're sitting on top of that 500 cubic inch, like 1,800 horsepower, or however many you're making nowadays, beast, and you got that thing wound up, and all of a sudden you hear a noise that's not normal. It's got to go through your mind. Like, what is that?
Yeah, well, when you're playing a game based on thousands of a second, just any outside thought can make you either dead late or early or screw you up. You know, I had in Pomona this year, I had to race V Gaines, and I went up there, and I knew it was going to be a long tree because of how we staged, and I flickered the bottom bulb, and anytime the bottom bulb flickers, it triggers something in the timing system, and it's a long tree, like where from the time both cars are staged, it takes longer for the three ambers to drop. So just that thought of, okay, Eric, it's going to be a long tree, be ready, you know, I was 50 and gave the race away. So just any outside thought or variable can certainly impact it. And the more you drive, the better you get at that. And, you know, I can certainly improve in those areas, but it did throw me off a little bit, but we got lucky.
Final round, Jason Line and you, identical reaction times, 34 reaction. And so now it's just a drag race. You got to hit those shift points. You're able to outrun Jason Line. Just saying that is a tremendous testament to your team and everything you guys have done. Of course, the KB guys are so good over the years. 661-2, 208, and you are the winner. What was that like, seeing the win light come on your wall?
It was crazy. I haven't seen the coverage yet, but I know that if the in-car camera was on, you'll see me going nuts in the car. I look for that wind light that's on the retaining wall a little bit past the finish line. And when I saw that thing light up, I mean, I checked over and he wasn't there. So, I mean, he was there, but I could tell I was ahead of him from my old bracket racing days. And I was like, oh my God, you know, just started freaking out. But you want to talk about pressure. I mean, I don't think it gets any more crazy than that situation. You've got $100,000 on the line and bragging rights, and you're racing next to a former world champion and somebody who I totally look up to as a driver and a crew chief. And I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that goes on that people don't know about if they're not involved. And it was crazy, but to get it done for Elite Motorsports and for Chevrolet, I mean, they've been so supportive of us, and Royal Purple and Jegs and Penske and all of the people that help us. I mean, my top of the end interview after we won, Gary Darrell told me, he's like, you got 10 seconds. And so I'm trying to, like, there's no way you can summarize what just happened into 10 seconds. So I really struggled with that. But It was such a tremendous weekend. It was a dream weekend, and these weekends are so few and far between, and I'm just going to soak it up as long as I can because, you know, my dad reminded me these are the good old days. All of these memories are you're going to look back on and be so proud of, so just soak it up because they go by quick.
This is historic stuff right here. This is stuff that people will remember. And the second time ever two females have won on the same day, you and Alexis, that's kind of an interesting subplot. You as the first lady racer to, what is the right way to say that, Erica? Lady racer, female, like I'm always tripping all over that because I don't even want to mention it, except it is the fact.
It is. I mean, it was so cool. And I mean, Pro Stock was on a delayed schedule because of the fans on the track and the super crazy crosswind, so I didn't even get to celebrate in the winner's circle. I mean, Lexi's a good friend of mine, and I called her afterwards, and we planned on, sorry, I'm at the airport, we planned on, you know, meeting up in Charlotte a day early and celebrating for our success that we had in Vegas, but what a great driver, and a true testament to hard work pays off, and she's done a great job, and it would have been really cool to, like, personally share the winner's circle with her, but we'll have to delay it a couple weeks.
Couple quick questions. I know you're getting on a plane. The wind, you mentioned it. We're not really talking about it just as part of the race because NHRA, I think they did the wise thing. But being in the car with the wind whipping like that, how much more difficult does it make something that's already difficult?
Well, a headwind or a tailwind, we don't feel it in the car. But when there's a crosswind like that, I mean, and it was gusting big time, 40 to 60 mile an hour, and just really crazy. So the grandstands block it for about three quarters of the racetrack. But when the grandstands ended and it smacked the side of your car, it scooted you over. And, you know, my left hand is the only one on the steering wheel. So going through the finish line, my left hand should have been at 9 o'clock. And I crossed with it at 6 o'clock. So I had the steering wheel turn a quarter of a turn just turning into the wind so it didn't push us over. So it certainly affects us.
And the $100,000, you mentioned the pressure of being up there and having to think, wow, I just won yesterday. I got a chance to double up. I got to beat Jason Lyne. The world is watching. This is the moment. This is what. This is why I'm here. I wanted to be here, but now I'm here. I'm thinking about this. Oh, my gosh, that pressure, you imagine. You came through it. You lived through it. So that's something to build upon for the championship, for the countdown down the road. But what about the $100,000, Erica? Is that going to tangibly help this team perform better? Is that going to go right back into this team? I know there are teams that are well-funded. There are teams that are mediumly funded. Is this the team that is going to really be able to put that money to good use?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. And it'll go back into the racing fund for sure. I mean, you know as well as anybody that our class is crazy expensive. So we're certainly still searching for that primary sponsor and putting together some associate ones in the meantime because every little bit adds up. But this will certainly prolong it and hopefully get us further down the road.
There you go. Erica, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun watching. That's for sure. I can't even imagine what the what was the after party like? All right, you're done. You're out of the track. You're going back to the strip in Vegas. What did you do?
You want to hear how lame I am?
Yes.
We got out of the track. Oh, I don't know. What time was it? Like 10:30 because of the delay and then tearing the rig down and whatnot. And we ended up having our double up victory dinner with double doubles at In-N-Out Burger. And then we went back to the hotel and my sister and a couple of friends, you know, met for a drink. And I went to bed because I'm lame and I was so tired with the extended race day. And then, of course, the adrenaline and the pressure and everything else that I had on my shoulders. I could have, after I got out of the car after the finals, I could have laid down right there and went to sleep. It was a long day, but we'll certainly do some celebrating this week back home in New Orleans. And then when we get to Charlotte a couple days early, I look forward to meeting up with Lexi and my guys and just, you know, on a day that we don't have to be smart the following day, just kick back and relax and soak in our success because these days are few and far between.
Four wide is next. You mentioned it. Are you looking forward to that four wide madness?
I am. I mean, I enjoy going to Charlotte. I used to live there, and I have a lot of friends there, so it should be great. And the fact that we've got, you know, the fastest hot rod in the country right now, and just that confidence and consistency is hopefully we can carry it on as long as it lasts. And you know, going in there with the points lead, that's the first time in my 22-year career that I've had the points lead, and, you know, the first time for a female in pro stock ever. So it's just, it's so cool. And but over the years, I've learned that you can go from here to zero really fast, but we're hoping that doesn't take place anytime soon. But I certainly look forward to getting back to Charlotte, and then, you know, the four-way is always, always interesting, and it provides a platform where anybody can win that race. So you have to really be on your A game, and you know, a lot of outside stuff going on, but just got to focus on the task at hand and try to get her done. You know, when I was with Victor, I think we runnered up at Charlotte 3 times, so we've never been able to get it done. And I know you remember when the wind light malfunctioned and we thought we had won our first race against Greg Anderson.
Yes.
And it turned out the wind light was wrong. So I think Charlotte owes us one, and we're just gonna do our best and let God do the rest, see what happens.
Erica, thanks for coming on the show. Best of luck, of course. I will see you in Charlotte for the four wide, so I'm looking forward to that. And I don't think a victory double-double is a bad thing at all. I'm all about it. Some of us fly like 2,000 miles to get a double-double, so I think it was a great way to celebrate.
I certainly look forward to them when we go on the West Coast, and it was. It beats the heck out of one of those three-hour-long dinners that cost $5,000. So we did it right, and we're hopeful that it continues the rest of the year.
Erica, thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio. I always appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Erica. Erica Ender-Stevens with us here on WFO Radio. And she is almost, the lady racers in NHRA have almost all done the single name deal. Like Beyonce, like Madonna, like, you get it. Cher. You've got Erica, Alexis, and Courtney. They're all one-name girls. Of course, Courtney Force, and Erica Ender-Stevens, and Alexis DeJoria. But you know who we're talking about just by the first name, Erica. One thing I would like to see, I didn't mention it to or with Erica, is a little more Erica-related branding on that elite performance Chevrolet Camaro. That is one thing that she could win the championship this year. Erica is a major player. She's got the quickest hot rod right now. She is driving really well. She is winning. And you're trying to make a star, right? You're trying to make a superstar. We're trying to build star power in drag racing, aren't we? Maybe we're not. Maybe we're just trying to turn on wind lights and wind races. And this is something that is occurring to me as I am saying it. The stream of consciousness nature of WFO Radio. This is what you get. But aren't we trying to build superstars like Tony Schumacher, like John Force? Aren't we trying to build personalities that people know and want to root for and want to follow or want to root against and want to see lose and want to see their preferred favorite driver beat and send to the trailer, load them up, load them into the trailer? Aren't we? Well, you have to do something with the personalities a little bit. You've got to build them up. We're building them up. That's the whole point of WFO Radio. That's why we designed the show. In case we've got a first-time listener out there, the history of WFO is long and legendary. But the bottom line is this. The reason people think that NASCAR guys are heroes is because they're always being talked about in many different venues. About them, what they are, how great they are, how they're great drivers, how much talent they have, what they do. Everything you turn on, everything you hear is about the drivers and what they are like, and you deify them. They become deities of sport, icons. And that happens in basketball, and it happens in football, and it happens in baseball, of course. We're going to talk Yankees baseball with Peter Biondo coming up in a little bit. Erica Enders Stevens, they've made a movie about her, On the Right Track, and her name is like this big on the side of the car. I know it might be self-aggrandizing, and maybe Erica wouldn't be into it. I guess I could have asked her about it, but it's really kind of coming to me at the conclusion of the interview. Maybe another time. Erica will win again. But I want to see a little more Erica branding. I want to see a little more Erica star power. Not just Erica, but Courtney and Alexis. There is a difference, of course. Alexis is a star in and of herself. She'll be on next week, by the way. Confirmation from the DeJoria camp that Alexis will be on the show next week as we're getting ready for the four wide. But Erica is not just another driver. Erica is the first female to lead the points in pro stock. She's the first girl to win a pro stock race. She's the first girl to win the K&N Horsepower Challenge and a race in the same weekend. So many firsts. If she wins a championship, she will be the first. Go with it. Erica! Maybe a little bit bigger. Little tiny teeny. Like it's any other driver. Here's a name. Now, maybe Erica has got a very good reason why she doesn't want to do that. Maybe, I don't know. That's something that we're exploring. And we will explore and we will discuss on the show. But I would think, again, I got the marketing cap on right now. And I'm thinking to myself, you want every little girl that is sitting in the grandstands, holding hands with her father, talking about racing, got her earplugs in and her earmuffs on, and she's locked in on what's going on, to know that Erica is pulling into the water box. That just seems to be my thought. Now, Shirley Muldowney did it with a pink car. You don't even realize it. But she was marketing. She was branding. She branded herself with the pink car. Now, of course, Cha-Cha Muldowney, she liked it. She hated it. Now she likes it again. That's not what we're talking about. The pink car. That was the ticket. That's what everybody knew. The pink cars. And it's hard to own a color because other people can have color. Ashley Force Hood had a pink car. She won with it. And there will be other racers that have pink cars. Susan B. Komen, pink. Everybody's pink. All kinds of pink. I guess Susan B. Komen Foundation and breast cancer awareness, even greater than that, is now pink. The branding. But I'm not suggesting that Erica, I'm not suggesting you have a pink car. I am suggesting that there's got to be more to do, I think. Because she's winning races now. It's not about getting in a hot rod and maybe we can win races and maybe... Now it's about maximizing every win. About building the fame, building the star power, building the personality. This girl's out there. She's beaten the guys. She's beaten the best. She's beaten the best in pro stock. One of the most expensive, most difficult, most competitive classes of all of racing on the entire planet, including Formula One. People are talking about pro stock needs help. Well, here we go. Teeny tiny little. But again, there could be a very logical reason that I do not understand or do not know, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this. How about that? And we just spoke with Erica. I could say, hey, Erica, why isn't your name bigger on the car? But we'll get to the bottom of it. All right, when we come back, how about that, folks? Just a little freestyle for you. You can get on board with the show. Listen, we've got something big on the site, actually, that I have to tell you about. This is huge. It is ginormous. We got Peter Biondo, the Terminator, coming up. He doubled up out there in Vegas to get on the show, right? We were going to have Peter on to talk about the Spring Fling, K&N Spring Fling bracket races, big money bracket races, 20 grand every day. And he goes out there and doubles up in advance of being on the show. Kind of like Shane Westerfield last week. Shane came on the show the week before he wins. Peter Biondo is going to come on the show the week before he wins. It's very strange the way it's all working out. But the Terminator is going to be on in a few minutes. We're going to talk about doubling up. We're going to talk about the K&N Spring Fling out there in Vegas. There's also one in Bristol. And we're going to talk New York Yankees baseball because this show is first available opening night of New York Yankees baseball out there in Houston. The final season of Derek Jeter. Of course, we also do the Yankee Roll Call show at yankeerollcall.com. And that is great stuff. Earlier today, I was on our South Florida local radio airwaves, 640 locally here in South Florida, Fort Lauderdale area with Hank Goldberg from ESPN talking Yankees baseball. And it was a good time, but we're going to talk about it with Pete Biondo, the Terminator, coming up next. But what I'm getting to is that we really want and love your feedback on the show. Your calls, your voices, your thoughts, your opinions, your rants. Hey, this is Ronnie. I'm calling from Maryland. This is what I think. I can't believe it. WFO. Click. We give the numbers 954-889-6796 a lot. But some people don't have a pen and they don't want to write it down. 954-889-6796. Or go to the website. It's spelled out there. Well, now get this. If you have Skype, which many people do, and if you don't, you should. It's free. and Skype-to-Skype calls are free from anywhere around the world. Got that, UK listeners? Australia listeners? Middle Eastern listeners? South American listeners? Canadian listeners? There is now a button on the front page of WFOradio.com that if you click it, the button, your Skype will open and you will automatically call WFO Radio. It is on the contact page. It is on the front page. It is on our mobile app site. It is everywhere. You click it, it calls us free online. We're installing that same button on the WFO Radio app. So if you have Skype and the Skype app, you will be able to open the WFO Radio app, go to contact, click on the button, and your Skype app will call WFO Radio. I know. What a great, brave new world. When we return, the Terminator, Peter Biondo, with us here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now.
Get ready, race fans. The NHRA Speed Demons are back at CMAX Dragway. And April 11th through the 13th, it's four wide and double the power. The four wide nationals are going to rock your world. See John Force, Antron Brown, Ron Capps, and Courtney Force blister the C-Max Dragway at 330 miles per hour. Get your tickets today to the four wide nationals, the most powerful drag race on the planet. Kids 13 and under are free, and every ticket is a pit pass. Don't wait. Call 1-800-455-FANS now.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Don Schumacher with us here on WFO Radio after his 200th career win.
I am of the same nature as George Steinbrenner is. I hate to lose. I hate for any of my teams to lose unless they're racing one of my other teams. Then it's may the best man win, and we'll just go on forward from there.
It ain't just wide open. It's WFO. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, and we're hearing from the winners, the Mellow Yellow Series winners all in the books. And if you're a first-time listener, you definitely hear that after NHRA National events. But we've been delving into the Lucas Oil Series a lot more over the past couple of years. The fans and the listeners, they love it. Well, we're going to bring it to them. And so this past weekend at the SummitRacing.com NHRA Nationals in Vegas, there was a very special double-up victory. He's been on the show before. He is back. He is the Terminator, Peter Biondo, after doubling up in stock and super stock. He joins us now. Pete, welcome back to WFO.
Joe, it's great to be back. I've been listening to your show ever since you put me on the first time, and it's very entertaining. You do a very good job at it. Thank you for putting me on.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. And the listeners, what I'm saying is not made up. They really do like the fact that we can spend a few minutes talking to you guys and finding out what you're doing. We love watching those cars. Getting to know the drivers is a little bit more of a challenge, and so thank you for coming on. How about what a weekend you had out there in Vegas, a double up, but we didn't see it in Gainesville. Explain that. Where were you?
Well, the rig was on the West Coast, and we left it out there rather than go back and forth from back east and then back west. So we took Gainesville off. That's one of my favorite races, and I typically do pretty well down there. So that was disappointing to have to do that, but it ended up working out really well with our game plan on leaving everything out here.
So it's clear then that the West Coast guys are easier then.
No, that I'm not saying. not at all. As a matter of fact, it was very challenging this weekend with the ever-changing wind conditions. I mean, we literally went from a 28-mile-an-hour, we went to a 28-mile-an-hour headwind from a 20-mile-an-hour tailwind, and it happened within hours. So we had to move the dial and the shoe polish, so to speak, 1,500 to the second from one round to the next, and it was challenging, and these guys out here, they're playing for keeps. All the reaction times were very good, and it was a dogfight.
In stock eliminator, you took out Ryan Mongus, your 10.67.2, and then in super stock, in the very well-known Phil Monteith Hatari Pontiac 9.86.2 over Andrew Durham, who ran 9.63.8. You had less mile per hour than he did, so it seemed like you might have had the reaction time advantage there.
Yes, the Superstock final, the reaction to 300s I had leaving the line gave me some cushion at the finish line, and I was able to use that to my advantage and lean on the brake a little bit and let off the gas so I didn't break out. So that was pretty comforting going down a track when I saw I had some room there. The stock final was a little bit different. Ryan was doing an excellent job of driving. I mean, he was a picture of consistency all day long, and you got to remember, in stock, these guys are on the bottom yellow without a trans brake, so it's a little bit more challenging than typical delay box bracket racing or even super stock, for that matter. And he was glued to the tree at an 019 light just about all day long, and I put a little bit more front air in the front tire pressure I came up with 023 reaction time, and I was shooting for about a 14 or 15, and it worked out really well. It was a very good run.
Without giving up too many of your driving secrets, I'm sure a lot of our listeners out there are saying, well, what does the tire pressure do? Is that making you react quicker or slower?
Well, that actually, Joe, there's a distance of rollout that your tire has to break the beam. And the more tire pressure you, summing it up, the more tire pressure you put in the front tires, the quicker it's going to break the beam. Typically it depends on the tire size and how your car launches, but a pretty good rule of thumb is about every 10 pounds is a hundredth of a second.
And that is just an example of the detail, folks, these guys are going to. Peter, when you double up at a national event, it's very difficult to win these races once. Every once in a while, I get a chance. I've been doing more as an announcer, interviewing first-time winners. And these are people, they've raced their whole lives. They've invested literally years of their lives chasing the dream of winning one Wally once. And it has eluded them in many cases. Other drivers, Dan Fletcher is an example. There are examples, yourself, of course, Anthony Bertazzi, have got a knack. They can just do it. What is it about a day like yesterday? Could you have told me midday you were feeling it, or are you just going through the process and at the end you realize, hey, I want them both?
Well, a little bit of both. I got to say, I do focus on each round one at a time. I'm very focused on the details, very detail-oriented, and trying to get the dial right, get my game plan in place, and so that when I do stage the car up, I have a clear head and I'm ready to execute, so to speak. But yesterday I really was feeling it. A couple of reasons off the top of my head. For one thing, I felt like they say when a ball player is hitting on a good day and hitting the ball well, he sees it in slow motion. He sees the ball coming at him in slow motion. And I really felt midday that I was seeing things in slow motion. Why? It's hard to say. Partly because I was very focused, and partly because my partner, actually my partner in the spring fling races, Kyle Seipel, has a very good knack for helping me with the dial-ins and game plans. So it took a little, usually I do it all by myself and then have to get in the car and execute. He was doing half of the job for me. He was basically telling me, all right, yeah, the wind is doing this. Your car is going to run about, let's say, a 1063 right now. And that made me get it allowed me to have more clarity on the focus at hand.
The idea that the two of you guys are, like, teaming up against the field over there is really cool. You mentioned the wind. Now, we talked to Tony Schumacher a little bit earlier, and he's just talking about managing the car, getting it down through there, controlling the car with the wind. We know the pro stockers had to hold off until the end of the day just because they have so little downforce. You guys have to hit a target, and you're able to adjust that target with the wind whipping all around. You mentioned a formula about tire pressure and time. Is there a wind formula that you guys have, or is it just kind of a feel scenario, or do you just make sure you can get there by adjusting your dial-in?
That's three very good ways of putting it, and you hit on the three points that I would hit on, Joe. There is a formula, but it's not as accurate or precise as a weather formula. In other words, let's say in my Super Stocker, which is partly at most tracks, it's true. It's every 3 degrees is a hundredth of a second in temperature. Of course, I look at all the other variables as well, but just as an example, that's temperature. Wind, 4 to 5 miles an hour of a headwind is going to be a hundredth, depending on your car, but that's about my stock limit of car. And you can kind of go along that scale, but it makes it kind of hard to focus on a formula like that with something that's ever changing. And when I tell you, Joe, it was ever changing, not only the mile an hour to gust, but it was going from a head to a tail to a side. I mean, every time you really had to look literally right before you put your dialing on. You had to take a glance at the flags and get a feel for it. So it is a little bit of a formula. It's more of a feel, paying attention and using common sense. And then lastly, like Kyle had, we discussed the game plan going into the headwind round. And finally, I just threw in a towel and I said, you know what? I don't think we can figure it out. I'm dialing up extra and I'm just going to get there first and hope it's not a double breakout.
There you have it. Now, Peter, are these things, these formulas, this is obviously built up after years and years of running, but is this stuff that is generally known by most of the racers out there, and it's just about executing? Because you seem very willing to explain this, and I'm happy about it, because I want our listeners to understand what's going on when they're watching you guys race. That having been said, are these formulas commonly known among other racers?
They are, I would say, 75% of the racers know some kind of a formula. Probably more like 90% of the racers. But how much homework are they doing? How much data have they accumulated to know that the formula really fits their car? And how much paying attention are they doing to all of the ever-changing variables? That's key. There's so many variables that change so quickly, and if you keep your eye on, if you have to really have a balance of keeping an open mind to everything that's going on and having focus on the specific formulas. So I would say the majority of the people do have some kind of formula. Are they executing it on a track? That's a whole different story. That's the hard part. That's the hard part for me as well.
I can imagine. Talking about it is one thing. Actually doing it is another thing. Now, I mentioned you picked the perfect week to double up because I did want to have you on regardless because of the first of two big events you've been on in the past to discuss them, the K&N Spring Fling Vegas edition, April 2nd through 6th. So coming up this week, one of the biggest bracket races in the country. I know bracket racers from all around the country are going to hit either the Vegas or the Bristol edition. You and Kyle have really taken control of this market and put together such a fun race. Fans, if you're out there and you don't understand bracket racing or you want to, just showing up to one of these events, they're not really the biggest spectator events, but I don't understand why, Peter. I think there's cool cars all over the place, a lot of great racing. You guys are going to stream it live. You're going to have audio and video. Nate Hershey is going to be one of the announcers, our great friend Nate. So you guys have got a real big event going on this week.
Yes, we do. We're very excited about it. And if I sound, as I mentioned earlier, Joe, if I sound a little bit tired, it's not because I partied in Vegas all night. It's actually because we unloaded boxes for the past 3 hours of all of our round prizes and all of the giveaways that we do for the racers, which is a very big part of our business model and I believe our success. So we're very excited. And you know what? When you win a race at the facility that you're, and furthermore double up at a national event at the facility that you're about to promote a race at, it sets off a pretty good vibe for you, for the crew and the staff, and even for the races coming.
And the race gets started, I guess, on Thursday, correct?
In Vegas here, we're starting actually tomorrow. We have tech and parking, and then Wednesday we have a test and tune. This year we're doing a free test and tune, and we're also doing a little shootout on Wednesday, 96 car shootout, the pre-registration for that, and it's all filled up already, and the winner wins a Super Gas Don Davis Corvette. The runner-up is going to get a race tech dragster. So it starts on Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are the money event.
And our listeners, I wonder, is it all computing in their minds? And that's what I really like to do. Is that, you know, maybe they're in a bowling league, Peter, or maybe they're in a softball league, and they're thinking, well, wait a second, I can win a dragster? Or maybe they're a bracket racer somewhere, and they are battling at their local track, and they're really good, and they want to test their mettle against the best of the best of the best. Touring pros, people of all different lifestyles come to these events, and you guys have prizes, like race cars, like super gas chassis, like dragsters.
Yes, it's a lot of fun, Joe. It really is. We get companies involved, and they're very eager to get involved with our business model once we explain it to them. K&N was the first one on board, obviously, to believe in us. And just now, I just unloaded probably 400 or 500 K&N filters, and as we're doing that, we're writing down on a piece of paper, okay, the losers of first round on Friday, Kyle's going to go down there and hand them a K&N filter. Maybe that puts a little smile on their face, that they're getting something. And that's a small prize, but that's just some of the interaction that we do like that. The rest of the prizes, I mean, I could go down a list, but there's basically probably 30 companies that that give away at least $1,500 to $2,000 each of prizes that we dedicate to either a round win, a round loss. We make it fun sometimes, and it really is. It's a pretty cool vibe.
And the vibe continues as Steve Williams from K&N goes on and wins Super Comp out there in Vegas as well. So you guys really got the mojo working.
Yeah. It seems to, you know, they always say karma or things happen for a reason, or somebody up above is watching out for you. And ever since we started doing the Bristol K&N Spring Fling 5 day out in Bristol, I started doing really well at that track. Emily and I doubled up there. My wife Emily and I doubled up there the year after we started doing it there. And now we do it out here, and all of a sudden I'm having more success here than I went in. I went in October. I went twice this weekend. I went once last weekend here. So I don't know what it is, but it's working.
It sounds like it is working. Peter Biondo just dominating the past couple of months out there. And then a big race this weekend, the Spring Fling 20 in Vegas. You guys will be headed back east for Bristol. It won't be long. The East Coast guys will be able to get their opportunity. And these races are very popular among the bracket racing community. Peter, where can our audience click on and watch it? I know you guys are going to stream it. I know the audio is going to be available. I know Nate is going to do a great job as an announcer on the mic. But let's say some WFOers out there want to flip on the Spring Fling this week while they're working. Where would they go?
Sure. Starting on Thursday, they can go right to bracketraces.com. So www.bracketraces.com. and there'll be a it's actually backslash live. There'll be a live click on the prompt there that you can watch from the tower. You could hear Nate and Jared, who's our other announcer, and we have Jegs and Steve Schmidt Racing Engines presenting that. They're the sponsors of that. And it's pretty cool stuff. You'd be surprised, and I know firsthand when I'm at home and not at one of these races, because there's other big events doing this now, I get hooked and I can't get away from the computer.
No, I totally know. Next thing you know, it's a couple hours later. You're watching racing online, and it has been a huge benefit. Could you ever imagine years ago that you guys would be sending a bracket race all over the world for people to watch?
You know, I can give you the contrast to that, Joe. I was telling my wife, we were talking the other day about, it was, I think, 1992 when I was trying to figure out who won the Phoenix National event. So you called the NHRA hotline and they just gave you a list of the winners and you had no idea before that time. There was no, you know, it might have been even before 92, but there was no way of keeping track round by round. And, just to contrast that, now we're watching live. 3 minutes after I go through the finish line, my wife hands me my phone yesterday. My brother has the ESPN3 show of me going down the track and the whole commentary and everything. And that's how quick things have changed.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Congratulations once again on the SummitRacing.com Nationals double up. Of course, you guys doing a great job with the spring fling. But before we let you go, Peter, let's talk about one more thing that I know is near and dear to your heart. It is opening day, the Yankees at the Astros, the final season of the captain, Derek Jeter, his final 162 games. Give me your general mindset. What do you think about the Yanks in 2014?
The Yanks are near and dear to me, and I've been watching Derek Jeter since he was a rookie very closely, going to all the games. What do I think, Joe? They signed on a lot of talent, but a lot of injury-prone talent. It's all going to be based on if the team can stay healthy.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
If they can stay healthy, they can actually make a run at the World Series. But it's, you know, that's going to be critical. So my gut feeling is they're going to do well. You know, I'm wishing and I'm hoping for a World Series. But if they can stay healthy, we'll get a shot at that.
And you mentioned in the past, and I agree. Just Derek Jeter as an example, as an athlete, as a competitor, hard to think of another person who really just does it the right way every time he steps onto the field, into the arena, always brings it 100% and has the record to back it up.
Very, very true, and I'll share something very cool with the listeners of WFO Radio right now. Emily and I went to a meet and greet with Derek Jeter at the end of last year. And when you got to talk to him for a couple of minutes and ask him a question, and I was face to face with him, and I said, I just want you, and this is a true story. I said, I just want you to know, Derek, I've been a big fan of yours, and you're an inspiration not only for little kids but also for myself. And I gave him a short story that I drag race and I go for world championships sometimes, and I said, there are times that I'm sitting in the burnout box and I'm getting nervous. And I visualize him at the plate at Yankee Stadium, and I say, if he can do it with that amount of people at that kind of level, why can't I make this happen right here and now on a smaller scale? And he turned around and said, you know, that's really cool. Maybe next time I'm up at home plate, I'll think of me going down down a quarter mile in a race car.
That is the coolest story ever.
It was really, really cool.
Are you kidding me? Oh, wow. Peter, that is fantastic. The question is, how do we get this guy out to E-Town?
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to be able to pull that one off, Joe.
Yeah, probably not. But, hey, listen, I think it is great. He was nice to you. He was cool. This is a guy that is absolutely on demand for everybody on the planet. And he was real cool to you. That is a great story. You know, sometimes the athletes aren't, but let me think. Are you the first person that I've spoken with that have had direct contact with Derek Jeter? You might be, Peter. That's a great story.
Yep, it was definitely worthwhile to do that, Joe. It was, and yes, he's I was watching him, and you know, he can't even walk 3 feet without somebody stopping him or asking him a question, and he handles it well. And it's probably, you know, he has a life of stardom, and I'm sure it comes at a price.
Well, absolutely, that is a fact. The price of fame, and it is something that you know, you can't even imagine until you're in the middle of it. You saw a little taste of it like that. And what that must be like, though, having people hiding in your garbage and whatnot, who knows? But great story, though, and thank you for sharing it with our WFO radio audience. That is exactly the reason they log on to the show. Peter, good luck this weekend with the big promotional race. Thank you so much for coming on and telling us about your double up win. And where will we see you racing next down the road?
We are going to focus on the two spring fling races, and then after that we'll bring us into June, Joe, and probably at my home track at the National Event of E-Town.
Okay, I will be there. I am on the schedule for that one, so I'll be sure to come say hello. Thank you so much for coming on WFO Radio. Congratulations on your big win, and I appreciate you giving us the behind the scenes on the K&N Spring Fling this weekend.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Pete. Pete Biondo, the Terminator, with us here on WFO Radio, one of the great sportsman racers of all time, really, has won the U.S. Nationals, has really won it all, has doubled up for the second time in his career, and talking a little Yankee baseball, how about the story about meeting the captain, the great Derek Jeter? Yes, folks, it is opening day in America. It is also April Fool's Day. You can tell that we were just not into that at all. Bobby Bennett got me first thing in the morning, and it's like, you know what? I'm just impervious to everything. I did think for 1 second, I really don't like pulling tricks on people. I don't, especially on April Fool's, because I've been had in the past. I've been the April Fool, and I don't like it, so I don't like doing it to other people, the April Fool. But there is the potential to come up with something like, hey, Joe has been fired from WFO Radio, and we have someone else host the show. Ha! Yeah, no, you're not getting it? Me either. But great that Pete comes on the show, and what I love the best, folks, this guy's giving you how he thinks. He's giving you the how-to. And he is basically saying, I will say how I do it because it is so difficult that you, even if you know, you probably can't do it. I'll give you an example. Here at the tail end of the show, it's opening day for the New York Yankees. Baseball is starting again. The boys of summer are back, even though it is still winter in many places. The great Mariano Rivera. And if you're not a Yankee fan, look, I understand. You're from Texas, or you're from California, or you're from Chicago, you're a White Sox fan, you're a Cubs fan, I'm sorry. But we love baseball on the show. And we happen to be Yankee fans down here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, the southern tip of the Yankee Empire. And so, little rivalries. What do you think Bob Wilbur was on a couple weeks back? Now he's sending me his Bob on Baseball blogs. It's great. I love it. I love it. I love the national pastime. And I love drag racing. I love the NHRA. Mariano Rivera at the All-Star Game has no problem. Now he is, of course, retired, leaving a huge question mark in the Yankees' closer role. But I often wondered, he's at the All-Star Game a couple of years ago. He's showing all these other professional pitchers how to pitch his signature pitch. Here's how you do it. Here's how you throw the Mariano cut fastball. And I'm thinking to myself, why would you do that? Why would you show all your competition, all the people who are going to be playing against your guys in the next couple of years, how to throw your signature pitch? Why would you do that? And I'll tell you the answer. The answer is because he knew that even if he showed them, they wouldn't be able to throw it. And that is not unlike what the Terminator just did with us. Calculations, combinations, formulas, the ways to figure things out, what equals what, what you do when, doesn't mind telling you why. There's a big, big difference between talking about it and doing it. And I really appreciate it. Regarding the Yankee story, I think that was great. I think it was very excellent. Opening day for the New York Yankees, the quest for 28 begins. Derek Jeter, the captain, final season. I know we got a lot of Yankee fans out there in the WFO radio audience. If you want to hear a little Yankee preseason stuff, check out YankeeRollCall.com, something else we do. Also, our Poker Action Line show, the Poker Guy, is going to be in here this week. WFO Radio Ignition, we'll be making our picks. Bob Smith is back. This has been kind of a strange Nitro edition because we've merged together everything else that happens at Costello Media, which is fine. Gotta love the Yanks. Gotta love the whole baseball being back. I love it. All right, that's going to do it, folks. Big thanks, Pete Biondo, for coming on the show, the Jeter story. When I get ready to do the show, I really do. I think about Derek Jeter in the batter's box. I do. It was amazing to hear Pete say that. Thanks to Erica Ender Stevens for coming on the show. Erica. Can we just refer to her as Erica from now on? I like it. I think it's marketing at its best. And, of course, the Sarge, Tony Schumacher. Who's better than Tony to come on the show and just motivate you? I'm motivated. When I hear this guy talk, I'm motivated. I'm motivated to do something. I want to go out there and hole shot somebody, one of my neighbors. And Alan Reinhart. Alan was spectacular today. Love hearing from Alan Reinhart. And all you folks, remember, try that new Skype button. Get your tickets for Four Wide. Drive a Dragster at Frank Hawley. The good stuff is just getting good here at WFO Radio. We'll see you on Ignition later in the week. Enjoy the rest of your week. Thanks, NHRA fans.
WFO! The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO Radio.